This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and honored that you are tuning in today. I can't believe it's the end of June already. How in the world did we get here? My kids have already been out of school for like a stinking month. How does that happen? Time flies. Folks, this is a call-in show. The number, 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. We want to hear from you, your questions about stewardship. What does that look like in your life, in your situation? The definition of stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. That's not just money. That's our relationships. That's our leadership. That's our, like, our businesses. And, of course, I'm saying our, but obviously we know none of that is ours. It's all God's, and He's entrusted us to manage it for Him. And so what does that look like? How are we faithful with that? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, those who have been entrusted to be managers must prove faithful. And on this show, we take a look at the 2,350 verses that talk all about wealth and money and possessions, on how we're supposed to handle it all. And we kind of break that down and kind of tie those into your situation. So that's what this show is all about. The email address, if you want to email in, is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. And first up, from Dayton, Ohio, this is Christy. Christy, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. My mother and I are in a disagreement, and we are hoping that you can tell me that I'm the right one.
Uh-oh, there you go. I'm picking sides already.
I've been through FPU, and I don't borrow money for anything except the mortgage on our house.
I'm on your side.
I recently had to buy a car, mm-hmm. and I bought a 2004, so it's about 11 years old. I brought it home 75 miles into having owning it. Mm-hmm. I paid cash for it. Into owning it, it needed $2,000 worth of repairs.
Okay.
So my mom said, well, you should have bought a new car. You should have bought a newer car. And I said, well, Mom, I didn't have the money for that. And so she said, well, then just borrow a couple $1,000s. You know, she's thinking $15,000 car, just borrow a couple $1,000s. Because then you don't have to then pay the money out of pocket for the repairs. So my question, is it financially wise in the long run to borrow money to buy a better, newer car because then you have less potential problems down the road?
Well, if the options were only A and B, mm-hmm. Which you only gave me two options, the answer would still be your way regardless. But there is another option. To buy a newer car and to save up a little bit longer to buy a newer car is probably going to be more advantageous. However, mm-hmm. borrowing money to be able to buy a little bit newer of a car is not. There is another option. There is to be a little bit more patient, and there is to, you know, to save up a little bit more. Don't borrow, but, you know, to buy a little bit newer of a car. Now, the problem with what you just experienced is not the philosophy. Mm-hmm. The problem with what you just experienced is you got a bad car.
Yeah.
It's not anything wrong with the philosophy. You could get a new car and have issues.
Wouldn't it be under warranty then, and they would just fix it for you?
Yeah, if you wanted to pay another $80 a month for a warranty. A lot of those warranties you have to pay extra for. The ones that are provided for you, they only cover the major components. They don't cover anything that's out. They only cover the things that are not going to go wrong because they're actually, those warranties are calculated in a way where the risk is all on you, and they're going to make profit off of those warranties. So the warranties, don't think they're putting together those warranties for your benefit. I personally, there's nothing wrong with this philosophy. I personally have two older cars. They're very comfortable. The seats are already broken in for you. There's nothing wrong with the philosophy of buying an older car. You just happened to buy one that was right before it was having some major issues. So that's part of it. That's the reason why Proverbs 21:20 says to make sure that in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. We've got to be ready for the unexpected. Some things pop up. But just because you have a newer car doesn't mean things aren't going to pop up also. So it's not a philosophy thing that her philosophy is better. It's actually worse because you don't want to borrow money. But being patient to maybe buy something that's 3 or 4 years old, well, shoot, that's not bad. But buying new, if she's talking about, is it better to buy new? Definitely not.
Well, she was saying 2012 or newer.
If you can afford a 2012 car and it fits in your budget and you've got the cash for it, then yeah, of course, that's better. You can drive it longer. But if you don't have it, you don't have it. The bottom line is we don't spend money we can't afford. And that's the bottom line. And you've already made a decision and you're managing the decision. And she's just challenging you on your philosophy. But it goes back to the Bible. The borrower is slave to the lender. Romans 13:8 says that, we're to owe no man anything except for to love one another. So it just comes back to that. You got to choose, am I going to do it God's way or am I going to do it what seems to be right with my peers or with family?
Thank you so much.
You got to choose who you believe. Okay?
Thank you.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
Remember, folks, the phone lines are open. Feel free to call 866-357-3283 at 866-357-3283. Or you can email in if you don't want to be on air and that kind of intimidates you. You can just email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisonair@stewardship.com. This email comes in from Amy. She says, I love your show and listen to your podcast every single day while I'm at work. It helps make my day brighter and gives me so much encouragement. I have been following the baby steps and I am currently on step 2. I have a question about student loans. I consolidated them right after I got out of college about 6 years ago, before I knew any better. My current principal balance is about $13,500 and my interest rate is 5.75%. My interest is calculated on a daily basis, so I'm accumulating about $2.66 per day of interest. That's about $64 a month of just interest. My question is this. I want to make additional payments to my student loans so that I can pay them off quickly, but when should I send in these additional payments so that the money is going towards the principal balance and not toward the interest? Thanks for your ministry. I think number one, Amy, is you've got to ask them. Unfortunately, it's their loan and you've got to play by their rules. And so, whatever they say that you can do and under the constraints of your obligation and your contract, that's what you got to do. The key component here is that you pay it off aggressive as possible. You're talking about a $13,000 deal and you're talking about a $64 a month deal. So you've got $64 a month and then you've got $13,000. I would give a hyper focus towards the $13,000 and a secondary focus towards the $64 a month. Both are important, but primary needs to be, how do I make some $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 payments? How do I just crush this thing? And that's probably more important. But play by their rules. If it means if they allow you to write in daily checks, then do it. If it's weekly, then do it. If it's biweekly, just do it as fast as possible so you pay as little interest as possible. Thank you so much for your email. And now we have a call from Minneapolis. Steve, how are you?
Hey, good, Chris. Thanks.
How can I help you?
Well, I have an opportunity to take a work trip to northern Italy to see the quarries and the carving studios where the artists work. And I'd like to bring my wife. And so I just wanted to kind of walk through this because I'm technically in baby step two.
What do you do for a living?
I'm the foreman for the stone carvers and the bull masons at the Minnesota State Capitol.
Cool. And you said opportunity. So what kind of opportunity? I know it's obviously an opportunity to go to Italy, but career opportunity, how is this an opportunity for you?
They're going to pay all my expenses for me. But what it is I'll end up right with the fabricators, which obviously Northern Italy is where some of the largest artist studios in the world are, get to meet some of those artists face to face. And it's such a different relationship when you're actually there with those people versus, you know, doing it over phone or FaceTiming or whatever that would be. So,
And what's the total estimated cost for, I guess, her side of it?
The estimated cost for my wife, baby, which will be a month old, and some of our additional travel expenses, I'm guessing it's going to be close to about $2,500. That would include the airline tickets, extra travel expenses. We want to stay a few days past the meetings and not live real high over there, but still see a few things beyond the town of Massa where we're going to be. So $2,500, which I do have cash. But the reason I had cash was because I was waiting until baby came healthy, and that was all going to go towards a student loan debt. Actually, it was going to wipe out my student loan debt, and the last debt I had was going to be some unsecured credit card loan.
Okay. How much total debt do you have?
I have $11,000 in credit card debt and $4,000 exactly in student loan debt.
How much do you have saved?
Oh, I have $1,000 in cash and in my emergency fund, and I have about $6,000 aside from that. So it's, again, not baby step three. It was supposed to go towards the debt once baby was here healthy.
Yeah. How much? What's your income?
Last year and this year, I'll make about $100,000.
So on a monthly basis, what are you budgeting for? Are you budgeting for right around 8,000 or?
No, I budget around six.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, Steve. Let me simplify this for you. You make too much money to have this little rinky dink debt going on here. You need to just cream it. This is silly because you have the six. I would pay that immediately towards your debt. Boom. It goes from 11 to five. Immediately. And then you're five, you can take care of in 2 months. I mean, you'd be done, and you'd be done with the entire thing in 3 months. I mean, I would just completely slay this thing. You make too much money. I'd get rid of all that. You can be baby step three in the next 3 months. Now, regarding the trip, I personally wouldn't take it. I've got this funny feeling that when I give you that advice, you're going to go anyway. I wouldn't take it. I would know for that amount of money, for $100,000 that I make a year, I could take my wife to Italy. If it's $2,500 twice, it'd be $5,000, which is still small in your world. You could take your wife to Italy later and not have to be making payments when you get back. So I wouldn't do it. The reality is you don't have the money. You don't. You have six in savings and you have 15 in debt. So you actually don't have the money. It looks like you do, but you don't. So,
right.
I mean, I know it's hard to say no. I mean, I've said no to a lot of trips, even recently, because I've got these goals that I have I'm having to say no a lot to a lot of things. And I know it stinks to say no, but, you know, delayed gratification is a very rare sign of maturity in today's culture. And you can either show it or you can choose to go. But I personally wouldn't go because I don't think you have the money. But I'm not negating the fact that there's tension there and it's a decision to make. But I know you can take your wife to Italy in better circumstances in probably less than a year and a half, and you'll know that you did it the right way. And you can still go on this trip.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Yeah, and here's the deal. When next time you take her, you're going to be an expert, and you can show her a better time.
Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate it.
All right, for all the parents that are listening in, whether your kids are just learning to read or they possibly are learning to drive, I want to take a minute and encourage you. Psalm 127, verse 3 tells us, children are a blessing and a gift from the Lord. Your kids are a gift from God. I know it doesn't always feel that way, but God chose you to be the parent of your child. The Bible also makes it clear that parents are the primary spiritual mentors of their kids. That means teaching them everything, including a lot of the same principles that we talk about on this show. I know that Holly and I feel both the responsibility and also the privilege as parents to help teach our kids how to steward their lives. But we know firsthand that teaching kids about money, here's the deal. It isn't always easy. That's why we created the Smart Money, Smart Kids class for parents. Smart Money, Smart Kids gives you a practical, step-by-step approach for guiding kids of all ages to work hard and to handle money with wisdom and generosity. Right now, when you visit stewardship.com and use the promo code Chris Brown, you'll get it for $49. Again, you can get Smart Money, Smart Kids using the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces at stewardship.com.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's right, you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next up is Frank calling in from San Antonio, Texas. Frank, how can I serve you?
All right, so I have a question about throwing my credit card debts into a refinance on my home. Currently owe about $64,000 on my home, about $10,000 credit card debt. I'll make about, well, this year I'm going to make probably around $70,000, $75,000.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if that was a good idea to do that. Or
is your $10,000 all in one debt, or is it multiple debts?
No, it's multiple. It's about two or three.
Okay. What's your smallest one?
My smallest one is actually, we're going to consolidate it right now onto a credit card we just got with no interest on it. So all of that is going to end up being somewhere around $6,000 for that one.
Okay. Now, how much is it before the consolidation? What's the smallest one?
About $500.
Okay. So, Frank, I don't think you need to do any consolidations. It's just either going to extend your term or it's going to appear to reduce your payment amount, but you're going to be paying some kind of fee for that, I'm sure. Making $75,000 a year and only having $10,000 in credit card debt, you should be able to slam that in less than 9 months. You should be able to just drill that in the teeth.
Well, the thing is last year I made $96,000. You know, I racked up a lot of things. You know, I didn't live in comfortable.
I know what you're saying. I can read between the lines, my friend. You're a spender. And
yeah.
Hey, listen, you're making too much money to have debt. Come on now. And it's yeah. You know, there's no amount of money that you should have debt. But for you, you're doing really well with your income, and you just need to learn how to say no. And so what my
it's with the bills that we have now versus how much I'm making now, it's not allowing us to pay off those debts.
Frank, you need to sit down and do a budget. You need to realize where your money's going. And there's a great website I want to send you to. It's called everydollar.com, where you can just put all your stuff in. It's very user-friendly. It has an app tied to it. It syncs up with your phone. If you want to get a raise, if you want to find out where all that money is going, John Maxwell says a budget is telling your money where it should go instead of wondering where it went. You've got money seeping out little holes in your pocket. It's there. Your money to pay off this debt, it's already there. And so you just got to find it. You got to find out where it's seeping out. It's seeping out at a movie theater on Friday night. It's seeping out at going to a restaurant. It's there. You can find it. You just have to sit down and find it. So
I know what you're saying. To be honest with you, I was a lot worse a few months ago. And you know, my wife, we got a little bit more discipline. You know, kind of because we had to.
Frank, here's what I teach. Here's what I teach. I teach a debt snowball. It takes care. You get rid of your lowest debt, And then the payment that you save, because that debt is no longer there, you put that towards your next smallest debt. And that's how you climb out of debt. Now, no matter how you try to reduce your debt, it's never going to go away until you change your behavior. And you've got to get mad at debt. You've got to hate debt. You've got to make sure that debt is not in your life. It's not a way of life at all. And I really want to see if we can get that changed in your behavior, your philosophy, your worldview, not to use debt anymore.
I definitely will. I mean, I need to do something. I can't keep going the way that I'm going right now. I am totally beginning to hate debt. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like the old ball and chain.
Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything except for to love one another. And so you really want to make sure you stay away from debt. All right.
Thank you. I appreciate your advice.
All right. Thank you so much. Next call is Elena calling in from Tucson, Arizona. Elena, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I am blessed. How can I serve you?
I have a question for you. I'm following Dave Ramsey's baby steps, and I'm currently on baby step number 2. I have a car payment or a car loan for $8,000 and a student loan for $5,000, and I currently have $5,000 saved. And I know that the idea of baby step 2 is to throw all your money at the debt, but I am absolutely terrified to take any money out of my savings and put it towards my debt. And I don't know how to rectify my fear.
Mm. Elena, where do you think that absolutely terrified comes from?
I don't know. Just from a past experience, when I first moved to Tucson, I had gotten everything done, and like my second day here, I got into a car accident and I completely wiped out my savings to pay for this car accident that I had. So now I'm just,
so you had petrified. Money, you had money in the bank, and then you had an emergency pop up, and then you used the money that was in the bank, the emergency money, for an emergency.
True.
So what happened that was unexpected? I mean, you had an emergency fund, an emergency happened, and guess what? You were in position. You could do it. Way to go. So that's good. That's fine. Hopefully you're okay from your accident. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
The reason why I asked that question is because that fear, that absolutely terrified, to use your words, doesn't come from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." And so, for me, when I'm thinking, first of all, let me ask you your income. What's your income?
$22,000 a year.
Okay. And your monthly budget, are you making budget? Are you spending less than that? What's your budgeting process look like?
I'm pretty much budgeted to, I have like an extra $100 every time I do my budget, which I've been throwing out my student loan.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much set.
Okay. Anything alarming on the horizon? You see anything that's, is your roof like 45, you know, years old, or do you have a car that's completely filled with rust? Do you have anything that's alarming that maybe you can see on the horizon?
I don't. It's just, I make these scenarios in my head of the second I use it, like someone's in the hospital or.
Yeah.
I just scenario it.
Yep, you're a paralysis of analysis, right? And you know that most of our worry that we worry about, and this is for all of our listeners, I'm not just picking on you, Elena, but they don't ever happen. We worry about stuff that doesn't even happen. You want to take 4,000 of that 5,000 and attack your smallest debt, which it sounds like is your student loan, right?
Yes.
And
that's correct.
Yeah, and so I would do that, and I would at the same time. You won't like this. This is what I would do. I would take a quarter-time or part-time job for about 6 months.
Okay.
And for 4 to 6 months, and I would pay off both of them, and all 13,000 would be gone. You choose. If you want it to be 9 months, it's up to you, but you have control. You can go out there and get an extra job and hammer this thing and get it out of your life. That's what I would do. I'd go nuts. I'd go after it.
Okay.
But don't touch the $1,000. Only do 4. Keep the $1,000 there, because then if you know some of those things like a flat tire, you know, or anything like that pops up, you're prepared for that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Elena. All right. Well, that wraps up today's broadcast. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, I want to encourage you to do that. Hey, and listen, write a review. Millions of downloads of this show, but only a few hundred of you have written reviews. So I want to encourage you to jump on iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review. And also engage on social media. Chris Brown On Air is my handle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I have been Snapchatting a lot lately, so that's been kind of fun. It'd be great to connect with you there. Just add me on there. I'll add you right back, and we'll kind of go from there. But folks, don't forget, visit stewardship.com. Use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces, and you can get started with the Smart Money, Smart Kids class. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for not only entrusting us with having dominion over this earth and all of these blessings, but then also giving us an instruction manual on how to manage faithfully. God, we love you, and we pray that although we're not perfect, that our actions, our beliefs, our thoughts, that they make you smile. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.